Our next speaker is visiting us all the way from Louisiana, where he's an imam and the ICNA relief coordinator for hurricanes. And just, I'd like to give a little background. MashaAllah, he's very young. He's traveled overseas seeking Islamic knowledge. And yesterday, while I was starting to prepare a little bit of notes for this event, I wanted to go and learn a little bit more about him. So I went to YouTube and I put in his name, and mashallah, I couldn't stop watching. So I spent actually a few hours rather than preparing, just listening to his lectures. So I'm very confident that you will be doing the same after he speaks. So I'd like to invite Imam Omar Suleiman, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. First and foremost, my dear beloved brothers, sisters, and scholars, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you all for being here tonight, and I also thank you on behalf of ICNA Relief for being here tonight. And just as a side note, if you actually YouTube Omar Suleiman, how many of you are from Egypt? You know what you're going to get, right? It's not going to be this Omar Suleiman. And I always tell brothers, I say that, you know what? If you want to liken me to a Omar Suleiman, liken me to Sheikh Omar Suleiman al-Ashqar. Don't liken me to that Omar Suleiman. But unfortunately, most times in the last month, when I get introduced at any interfaith gathering or any gathering, there always has to be that qualifier, no, he's not the vice president of Egypt. And before that, he was also Ra'is al-Mukhabarat, he was the head of the intelligence, and he wasn't a very nice guy back then either. So if you search my name and you get a very, very ugly person who says very, very bad things, it's not me, I promise you. Aside from the age difference, the obvious age difference, it's not me. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I'm very happy to be here tonight, and I'm very happy to see the turnout and the support that ICNA Relief is getting, ICNA as a whole is getting from this community. And I want to just reflect on a few ahadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First and foremost, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informs us that when we pass away, that there is something directly related to the testimony of the people that comes into play on the Day of Judgment. Because every single person, when he passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something very simple, but something so very profound, إِمَّا مُسْتَرِحٍ أَوْ مُسْتَرِحًا مِنْهِ. Either he is relieved from people or people are relieved from him. And we know the famous hadith in Bukhari where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with his companions. And one janazah passes by, and the sahaba say good things about him, and they speak of him in a good manner, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. It became mandatory, it became mandatory, it became mandatory. And the sahaba did not ask what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant by that. Then another one passes by, and the complete opposite is said, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. It became mandatory three times. And the Sahaba inquired from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that you meant when you said wajabat? What became mandatory? And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for the one who you spoke well of, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Jannah became mandatory for him as a result of your testimony. And as for the one that you spoke ill of, wajabat lahu an-nar. Hellfire became mandatory as a result of your testimony against him. And so, dear brothers and sisters, before we even start talking about da'wah and we start talking about relief, first and foremost, we have to ask ourselves a very simple question. When I leave this earth, am I leaving a void of good behind? You know, subhanAllah, as it was said about Zainul Abideen, rahimahullah ta'ala, Ali ibn Hussein, that the people of Medina used to live, they used to get their food, they used to get their drink, and they did not know where it used to come from. And then whenever Zainul Abideen passed away, they understood that he was the source of that food and that drink that used to come to them. So I want you to think very, very deeply before anything else. When I leave this earth, have I left behind a void of good? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us that good deeds, in general, when we talk about doing good deeds, that this is something that can increase our lifespan. What is your purpose here on earth when you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is your benefit to the people? But instead of going into the long hadith in At-Tabarani, the Hasan hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that are most beneficial to the people. I want to address two things in regards to this type of work. There are two ways that this work is belittled. The work of da'wah and the work of relief. There is two ways that they're belittled. First and foremost, it's something called paralysis analysis. Or analysis paralysis, I'm sorry. Where you look at all of the bad things and you become a pessimist. And so you look around you and you say, did you see that protest that was going on in Orange County the other day? Man, subhanAllah, they're going to put us in internment camps over here. We're going to be just like the Japanese. You see what's going on in the Middle East? That's all just a conspiracy. And really, and they'll send, you know, people will forward these videos and things of that sort to say that, you know, that this is all just, and you know what? It might be a conspiracy. I'm just saying that some people are just so pessimistic and ridiculous with their pessimism. And instead of doing anything productive, they become obsessed with negativity. And as Harry Truman said, it's not a hadith, it's from Harry Truman, right? A pessimist makes difficulties of his opportunities, whereas an optimist makes opportunities of his difficulties. So you have the people in the community that will sit around and that will say, come on, is really serving homeless people in this Mercy on Wheels, this funny looking yellow van that's going around serving people, and a pamphlet that you put on someone's door, is that really going to make a difference? Rasulullah ﷺ told us about those people. مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ وَمَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. Whoever says that the people are hopeless, let's just not worry about anything, let's not do anything, everything's going to end, and the people that sit around smoking their argila and are obsessed with stories of Ad-Dajjal and it's the end of the world and all of the minor signs of the Day of Judgment have passed, let's just roll over and die. Rasulullah ﷺ already addressed that mentality. مَنْ قَالَ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. The one who says the people are hopeless is the one making people hopeless in the first place. And he is the most hopeless of them. And dear brothers and sisters, before we even talk about this work, there's a reality that we need to think of, that all of us need to understand. Allah Azza wa Jal does not need you and I. Allah doesn't need, and I'm not saying this to bring down the organization, Allah doesn't need ikna, Allah doesn't need care, Allah doesn't need these organizations. It's our honor, and it's from our own benefits. If we become involved in this work, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the tools of this work. But you know what? Instead of thinking big, instead of thinking, because this is the other mentality, the other idea is that, you know what, how come Muslims are still worrying about Mercy on Wheels? How come Muslims are still worrying about doing little health clinics here and there? Look at the Jews, they've got hospitals and they've got this and they've got that. Leave the Jews alone. Leave them alone. You know, they say that when something bad happens, you blame one of two things. You either blame hasad, you blame envy, or you blame the Jews. You can't blame the Jews for everything. We should be happy for them. You know what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we're happy for them. We don't have this enmity with people, and we're not sitting there looking at them and saying, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that, and we're still trying to do this little rinky-dinky, you know, work here and there. Don't worry about that. Start small. Stop trying to be Superman. Okay? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fi sahih al-targhib, من حفر بئر ماء كبد حري لم يشرب منه جن ولا إنس ولا طائر إلا آجره الله يوم القيامة ومن بنى مسجدا لله كمفحص قطات أو أصغر بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. Don't think too big. Think small for a minute. Think small on a small level. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever digs a well that will serve the thirst of someone, that will quench the thirst of someone, no jinn or human being or animal or a bird will drink from that well except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for it on the Day of Judgment. It's small, but you know what? Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you for it. So next time you want to ask, do we still get rewarded for serving non-Muslims? You get rewarded for serving a dog. You get rewarded for serving a bird. These are human beings. These are our brothers and sisters in humanity. Of course we have to serve them. Of course we have to be there for them. And whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is the size of a bird's nest or smaller than that, Allah will build him a home in paradise. And what's so beautiful about this hadith is, as the ulama point out, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that the effect that you leave on this earth, whether it's a tangible effect in the sense of welfare, as in the first example, or whether it's serving the spiritual needs of people, is what you will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. And those are the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you and I. First and foremost, we have to understand that. And we don't need to think big. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that mentality too. هَا أَنْتُمْ هَا أُولَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You're now being called to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ. Some of you are going to be stingy.
وَمَنْ يَبْخَلُ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ.
And whoever is stingy, he's only harming himself.
وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ.
Allah is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient and you are in need of Him.
وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ.
And you know what? If you turn your backs on this, Allah doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He will bring another people. And they will do the same job. And you know what? They'll be better than you. And we can think of it in the sense that this deen, this great religion, does not depend upon a race of people. And this is what some of the ulama saw the tafsir when Rasulullah ﷺ explained that Salman radiallahu anhu, a Persian, and his offspring, it doesn't depend on one group of people. It doesn't depend on any race. Don't think too highly of yourself. Allah can find other people who are going to do this work. And you know what? If there is no one who's willing to do this work, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would even bring support to this deen with a person who's anti-Islam. You know, you think about, subhanAllah, the story of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Bilal radiallahu anhu accepted Islam because of Islamophobia. He never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never met the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepts Islam because he hears the people talking bad about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, seriously, if someone walked into the masjid today and you say, "So, brother so-and-so, what brought you to Islam?" "Man, I was watching Sean Hannity and I just had to come become Muslim." Seriously? He was hearing them speak ill of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was the reason why. He was ready to die for this deen. He was ready to be lashed and deprived of food and drink and be pulled into the desert and have a stone placed on his back, be pushed to the brinks of death. Allah doesn't need you and I. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to guide a person, Allah is going to guide them. You know, any of you heard of Dr. Gary Miller? Gary Miller, you know why he says he accepted Islam? Because of the story of Abu Lahab. Because of the story of Abu Lahab. And in my own masjid, 3 weeks ago, a person comes into the masjid because they said that they could not tolerate the hate and the bigotry that they were seeing on the television, and they had to come and see what Islam was for itself. And that person today, Sister Melissa, is a Muslim. SubhanAllah, you never know. You never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do something. Allah azza wa jal will guide whoever He wants to guide. It's in our benefit to jump on the bandwagon, but it will move regardless. It will move regardless. And you know what? If there are no human beings even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that Allah azza wa jal would do it with animals. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. If it needs to be birds, He'll do with birds. And you know what? If there are no birds whatsoever, no animals, no human beings. When Allah wants to guide someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. But it's in our interest to try to be a part of serving our brothers and sisters, serving their needs, their, you know, for this, not just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are some things that are just human nature, from your fitrah. That when you see someone suffering, you want to alleviate that suffering. You know, you're going to hear Sister Lauren Booth today. And it bothers me that the first thing that you have, I don't know if Sister Lauren Booth is here. Is Sister Lauren here right now or she's coming later? She's coming later probably. You know, the first thing that you have on the title, and I didn't see Ikna's flyer, by the way, so I'm not going to get mad at Ikna or bash Ikna. But the first introduction of Lauren Booth is what? Sister-in-law of Tony Blair. I admired Lauren Booth way before she became Muslim. And the thing that impresses me about Sister Lauren Booth is not that she's the sister-in-law of Tony Blair. The thing that's impressive about her is, do you know that in 2008 she went to Gaza herself? She went to Gaza herself to deliver goods over there? That's amazing. That's human nature. That's fitrah. That's when you see someone in need, you want to alleviate that suffering. You don't like to see other people in need. That's what humanness does to a person. But dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reach whoever He wants to reach. And I just want to somehow, when we think of da'wah, we completely eliminate the aspect of relief. You know, Ata radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullah, he said something very profound. He says, بَدَأَ دَعْوَتُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The da'wah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started before the bi'tha, before he received revelation. With what? With his husn al-khuluq, with his good character. His da'wah had started and he didn't even know صلى الله عليه وسلم that his da'wah had started. But because of the person that he was a credible person in society to speak to the people and to deliver to them that message. He was already a Sadiqul Amin. He was already someone that was known to take care of the poor. And that's what Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she says, Wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never abandon you. It's not because you were making an hour climb to go and to meditate and to do i'tikaf. It's not because of your ibadat. It's because of your benefit to the people. You're being there for your family. You're being there for the orphans. You're being there for the people of your society. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had that credibility. And I want you to really think deeply. You see that Mercy on Wheels bus today? That is something that should warm your heart so much. Because you know what? As the brother was saying earlier, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِتْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ Repel evil with that which is good. You know, this ayah is so misunderstood. And there is a need for public relations. I cannot stress the need for public relations and the need for speaking, you know, from a position of strength as a Muslim community. But at the end of the day, dear brothers and sisters, if we treat people the way we're supposed to treat them, and if we are of a benefit to this society, we're not going to need those public relations anymore. People will come and speak on our behalf that used to speak against us. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the example from the Sahaba, did you know that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going to make hijrah to Habasha? Was going to migrate to Habasha? Who was the one who stopped him? Was it a Muslim? Who was it? Who was it? Ibn al-Dughna. Someone who's not a Muslim. And he says to Abu Bakr, he says, a man like you should not be kicked out of his society. A person like you should not be treated in this manner. And he takes him back and he grants him protection. Then the second portion of the da'wah starts where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu recites Quran openly. And the families of the people that were attacking Islam come and they start to be touched by the Quran. That's when the second portion of that da'wah starts. But the first portion, the first and most fundamental aspect is having credibility. Is being of a benefit to your society. And I know that many of you don't know the work of ICNA Relief in Hurricane Katrina. It's hard to even really talk about it in a few minutes, and I know my time is up. I don't want to go too long with this. But in Hurricane Katrina, dear brothers and sisters, ICNA Relief was there when the dead bodies were still on the ground. We walked into New Orleans when National Guard was the only thing there, and the dead bodies were still floating all over the place. And FEMA allocated a place in their office next to Red Cross and Catholic Charities for ICNA Relief. And ICNA Relief was the only organization that provided apartments to evacuees. No other organization did that, not even Red Cross. that went to all of these major shelters, a Muslim organization, imagine the effect, wearing Muslims for Humanity, walked into the Astrodome, walked into the Superdome, walked into the Riverside Center, and found the people that were in need, even if it was a pastor, an old person in need, someone who couldn't tolerate the conditions of the shelter, and put them in private apartments. You know what happened when Terry Jones, the guy with the ugly mustache, decided that he wanted to do his Quran burning? You know what happened? First and foremost, I don't even want to talk about how many people accepted Islam. The manager of the largest homeless shelter in New Orleans accepted Islam because of ICNA Relief's work. The manager of the New Orleans mission. But I don't want to talk about that. But whenever the Quran burning was going to take place, I wake up in the morning and I get a phone call from the Archbishop of New Orleans. And he has a petition from 200 religious leaders and a statement. And it says that we are ready to take to the streets on your behalf, that we are not going to tolerate this bigotry anymore. And we have released something to the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans newspaper, a civility statement and a call for tolerance and an end to bigotry. I didn't ask them to do that. When you are a benefit to your society, not me, but because of the work of ICNA Relief over there, if anything was ever to happen to the Muslims over there, any act of intolerance, any act of vandalism against the masjid, the other religious leaders come forward and they say, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to tolerate this. And I'll end with one thing, because these things go hand in hand, dear brothers and sisters. The aspect of da'wah, which is the foundation, which is having the credibility, the moral authority to give the people the da'wah that we know as da'wah today. And the aspect of da'wah itself. Let's go back to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just to demonstrate to you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really does not need us. And if Allah wants to guide a person, He will guide them. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks Bilal, Ya Bilal, why is it that the only thing you were saying was ahadun ahad? One. Out of everything that was happening, all you were saying was one God, one guide. How come you weren't saying anything else? All you were saying was ahadun ahad. What was the answer of Bilal radiallahu anhu? If I knew anything other than ahadun ahad, I would have said it. He only knew ahadun ahad. The only thing that reached him was ahadun ahad. That was the only thing from the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What if one of those Why Islam pamphlets inspires a new Malcolm X, rahimahullah, or an Imam Suhaib Webb? I didn't know that Suhaib Webb, his first exposure to Islam, was a pamphlet. What if it's one brochure? What if it's one brochure? What if it's one pamphlet? You never know. A giant might come as a result of this small effort. Don't think on your standards. Think on the standards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A small well, a bird's nest, and it might go a very long way. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the greatest muhaddith, the one who narrates the largest amount of authentic hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was responsible for his Islam? We don't even know his name. Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, someone whose name will literally probably come up in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, which is when he accepts Islam. But it was because he went back to his tribe of Dos and he took Islam back to them. And amongst Ad-Dos was Abd al-Shams, Abd al-Rahman, Abu Huraira, the one whose name would become Abd al-Rahman, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Huraira is from the legacy of Tufail. And we are all from the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are all from the legacy of the leaders of this community who thought to establish these projects. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a legacy of our own, if it's a small pamphlet that reaches someone, or if it's a small act of kindness that causes someone's heart to be open. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the entire reward of that, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless ICNA and to bless all of the Muslim organizations and all of the dua, those who are working in this cause, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who are honored by this deen, by this da'wah, by la ilaha illallah. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khair ala husni istima'akum. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.